All right, let's get back to Mordecai. I want to go over this Mordecai.
Can't say that, you know why?
Let's go.
Here you get, they give you like the Torah. Nah,
I don't believe this.
And they also got the sardines.
Let's get a fish.
Volunteer to read the Mordecai.
You get a fish X.
Avi.
Yeah.
You want to read the Mordecai for us?
Which Avi?
We spent whoever gets there first.
I was just kidding.
Kol Olam Gvar. Let's go. What we do is we'll spend a few minutes on this Mordecai, and then we'll go on to a new piece of Gemara. We mentioned already yesterday that the concept of Teshu Kein Tadiru, as we saw in Tosos and the Meiri, essentially applied to what aspect of sitting the Sukkah? To the Maisa Mitzvah, right? You're not chayav to engage in the Maisa of sitting in the Sukkah more than you would be required to stay in your home. As more than a person would normally relate to a place as his place of residence, he doesn't have to relate to the sukkah as his place of residence. So the mashal, a person normally travels away from home from time to time on leisure. So too, holchei derachim are pater from sukkah. Similarly, a mitzta'er, person is in his house in a situation of tsar, he would not stay in his house in a situation of tsar. So too, the mitzvah is pater from sukkah. In both those cases, Tosos invoked the Teshu Kein Tadur rule as the basis, right? Mitzvah and Holchei Derachim. We saw that the Meiri said mitzvah and also included chola. So chola we'll have to come back to because the Gemara brings up chola on chavav. But all of these cases, at least according to the Rishonim, are essentially violative of Teshu Kein Tadur, meaning I'm not going to tell you that you have to treat the sukkah more like a house than you would your own house, or more than one would a house in general. What the Mordechai did was, he went a step further. Mordechai obviously acknowledges Teshu Kein Tadur as relating to the Maisa Mitzvah, but he went beyond that. And what did he say, Avi? So why don't you pick up with that? Tav Shen Mem, the Amar Rava Mitzvah Patim in a sukkah.
Dema Rava Mitzta'ar Patr Min HaSukkah Kasav Rabbi Elazar Eliezer Mimitz.
Rabbi Elazar Mimitz. Okay, Rabbi Elazar Mimitz is in the Urayim. Sefer Urayim. B'Sefer Urayim, that's what that stands for.
Okay.
Oh, B'Sefer Urayim. No, I'm not screaming. Go ahead.
Sefer Urayim.
Right here.
Perish Yesh Lo Tsar
Minasukah. Okay, so that's the type of tsar that we've been talking about. Yesh Lo Tsar Minasukah, that's the general type of tsar that we spoke about, Rashi's, right? Rashi's tsar, for example. Tsar that comes from the Etzem Yeshiva Basukah.
Ubitseso. Yanasel de Kain Dira.
What does Kain Dira mean?
Kain Dira is like Teshu Kain Tadira.
Right, like Teshu Kain Tadira. In other words, it has to smack of Dira. Okay?
Dira.
Dwelling, residence. Kain Dira Ba'inan. We require Kein Dira.
Ve'im derech b'nei Adam la'amod bedorosam bitzar. Bidirosam.
Right, a person won't stay in his Dira, a person won't stay in his home if it's causing him tsar.
V'shir litzar kidit nan yardu gishamim.
No, you're saying good. Vishir litzar, and how do you measure when a person is bitzar? Because it's not. Like it's like we learned in the Gemara. Yardu gishamim, me'emasa yeshlo lifanos. When can he leave?
V'mi she'eno baki.
Well, 1 second. When can he leave? What does the Gemara say when he can leave? So the Gemara says, oh, once the raining is such that it causes some type of spoliation of your food, some type of, it's ruining your food on some level, then you could leave. That's a tsar. Right? If it was leaking in your house, and it was leaking to the extent that your food would become ruined, then you could leave. So the Mordechai says, well, let's say you can't be mishar that. You're not a bucky. You can't figure out exactly whether or not the rain is of that type of rain or not.
Mishaino Baki Bizah.
Bizashir.
Bizashir. Yitain Libo. Imhu Mitsar Beoso Inyan. Shibitsar Zeh Haya Yotse Mibeso. Haya Rishai, let's say, Misukaso. So if he would leave his house because of it, then he should leave his circle because of it.
Good. So the guy says that. I don't know. I don't know if this is the type of rain that I'm potter from sukkah. If or not. I'm not sure if this is the type of rain which potters me from sukkah or not. So what am I supposed to do? Oh, well then he says, Yitain libo. Yitain libo. That's important.
It's very subjective.
Yitain libo. Exactly. Imhu mitzdair ba'osu inyan shebetzar zeh hayotzim beso. He should determine, is the type of tsar that he's experiencing the type of tsar from which he would leave his home? If it's the type of tsar that would cause him to leave his home, then he could leave his sukkah. Vidavka, but however, this is limited. This idea that a person could leave his sukkah, or should leave his sukkah, when he is experiencing the type of tsar which would cause him to leave his home, had he experienced that tsar in his home, that applies only in a certain case. What's the case? Davka she'asa sukaso. It's only when he built his sukkah.
Mitchila b'makom.
Mitchila b'makom.
B'makom haroi. L'echo v'lishtos v'lishan ba.
Stop.
In a fitting place.
Right, you had to build your sukkah. We mentioned this yesterday. The Mordechai says a big chiddush that this only applies. The whole rule of mitzvah patim and a sukkah only applies when you start with what? When you start with a kosher sukkah, you build your sukkah in an environment which is appropriate for a sukkah, and then you experience some tsar, either from the smell, from the rain, from the heat, from the cold. Any of those types of things are going to cause you a tsar, and then you could leave the sukkah. But let's say you built your sukkah in a place that was inherently smelling, or that was inherently wet, dripping. So that's not a situation, says the Mordechai, that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say you built your sukkah in a place where you are going to be afraid.
Let's say, for instance, you know, I would leave my house if my house got extremely hot.
Okay.
So, you know.
So fine.
That's based on my own, you know, if my house hits 80 degrees, I'm going to leave my house.
Okay.
So if it hits 80 degrees outside, I'm going to leave my sukkah.
Okay, that's fine. But what?
But isn't that the whole mitzvah?
Is that the whole mitzvah what? To be in the sukkah?
Well, I thought that was the whole thing, that they were in the sukkah even though it was boiling hot. Or the
sukkahs. Is he talking about the...
He's saying in the midbar?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, how do you want me to respond?
Just with some crazy answer.
Now, what's your question?
I think I know what you're talking about.
I think he knows what I'm dying.
You're saying why the Ramah, for example, says a person who can't sleep with Pishut Yadav Aragav because his sukkah is too small, that's not called mitzdar, and he still has to sleep there. Afagav the tzarech likfof Yadav Aragav. That's really the Chumas Hadeshin. And you can't say I'm mitzdar. Why can't you say mitzdar? You can only say mitzdar. But davar shederech b'nei adam. It's only, now good, it could be by today's standard, people are much more fragile than they once were, and it could be that the threshold is lower, but it has to be the type of thing that, generally speaking, the average person would find very upsetting and very disconcerting and cause him great tsar.
Nowadays you could really make your sukkah into...
So that's a question. How far does one have to go? But listen to what the Mishnah Berurah says. Why is it that the Chumas Hadeshin Paskin, that a person who simply just can't sleep fully extended, is still going to be chayav in the sukkah? The derech ha'odim lafamim leishen kach. People sleep that way at home sometimes. Kafuf. The raya mehod the kaimelon. And he has an interesting raya, by the way, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Which the Chumas, I'm sorry, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chumas Hadeshin's raya. His raya is, how small can a sukkah be? What's the minimum a sukkah could be?
4x4.
Well, ten
high.
Than 10
it, it can't be smaller than 10 tefachim high, but it could be 7x7.
Yeah.
Right.
That's pretty small. 7x7 is...
40 inches or something like that.
Tefach is, let's say, 3.3.
7 inches by 7 inches?
No, 3.3. let me finish. Tefachim. So let's say a tefach is 3.3 inches. Let's say, lemashal. So what's 3.3 times 7?
24. You got
27
inches.
Yeah, well, 7 times 3 is 21. So what's the 0.3 times 7, whatever that is?
2.1.
So you're going to come out to a little bit less than 2 feet. 2 feet square. Right? You can't lie down. Generally speaking, a person that's a full-length person, not going to be able to lie down in that sukkah. And yet you see that that's the minimum shear of a sukkah. So Trimas Adeshin says, oh, you can't tell me just because you can't lay out fully extended that you putter. Because if that were the case, the minimum size of the sukkah would have to be bigger. You follow? Mm. That's one of his proofs. That's a proof.
Well, but that's not even like you're sitting in a little ball.
What?
You're basically sitting the entire time in a little ball, eating your soup like this.
So he says, the shir sukkah shiva al shiva tefachim shiva vade ain't adam yachalishin sham im lo bekfifas kfifas gufo ve'evar. You're going to have to, if you're going to sleep there, you're going to have to sleep somewhat curled up. Lefiza afilim asa osa l'charchila ba'ofen shiru'u yalishin sham bepishut ve'achakach ba'eze inyan shenasa dochuk v'tzar lishkov. Let's say you made your sukkah big. You made your big sukkah. And now something happened during the course of the Yontif where you have less room.
Shrunk.
So yeah, let's say part like of it fell down. Let's say something fell on it and part of it got knocked down. Can a guy say, well, now I can't sleep as I normally would have the rest of Yontif all spread out, so I'll be putter because I'm bitzar? Mishmur says, no, you can't, based on this Trumas Adashin. So the person could sleep that way. However, he says, the custom is safer in the Har Shalom to Mikol Mokom. This is the saving grace. Mishahu ma'unag v'kimle b'gave d'lidideh havei mitzdar lishen sham b'kfifa inachanam ishapata l'mi lishen sham. If a person really is, his constitution is that he can't sleep that way, he knows, he's being honest with himself, he cannot sleep that way. He's ma'unag. Ma'unag is what we would call today a mefunak or an istinus. Right, he's used to certain comforts and he can't rough it. He's not going to be able to sleep. Nonetheless, he is potter from. I mean, because of that reason, I should say, not nonetheless. Because of that, he's potter. And he throws in vafal piking yotzi di chavasa ba'achiv kevan shebe eis asiya he roi ledidei leachov v'lishan sham. In other words, even though he's not going to be able to sleep there because he's meunog. Since it's made in a way that he could sleep according to the normal standard, right? Then this sukkah is still going to be a fit sukkah. It's going to be fit. Afal gav tzarech likfof yodav raglav. Hainu afim ein lo eitzah heich lipshot raglav chutzal sukkah. Debepishat raglav chutzal sukkah l'kuli alma lo mikri mitzdar. V'chayiv lishin sham. V'achshat tzarech lizar shiyah ha-shulchan. Okay, separate problem of making sure that your table is in the sukkah so you don't get nimshach achar shulchanah. But what you have here is really the application of this Mordechai. The Ramah is saying that something that's mitzair derech, normally the derech of it is to be mitzair b'nei yadam, then fine, then you're going to be potter. But that's only if it's a type of tzair that one could get away from. And provide that you built your sukkah in such a place where you're going to be able, lechadchila, to use the sukkah in the way that's intended. But you can't put the sukkah in a place where you can't possibly do one of those things that you have to do in a sukkah. And that's what he writes at the beginning. Let's say you built your sukkah in a place where you know you're not going to be able to enjoy eating there. You won't be able to eat there properly or drink there. Oshena, or you won't be able to sleep there. Okay? Or you can't do something else that you have to do that because you're afraid of something. Eino yotzei b'oso sukkah klal. So the chiddush of the Mordechai is, and the Ramah paskens this way, l'chadchila, that you're not going to be yotzei in that sukkah even when you're doing one of the other activities. I have no problem eating in this sukkah. I can eat here, no problem. I can drink there, no problem. But you know what? I can't sleep here, just as an example, because I'm very fearful that someone's going to walk in at any moment and I can't find peace of mind. So he says, you know what, the Mordechai? When you eat there, you're also not fulfilling a mitzvah.
Because you're...
You're not fulfilling a mitzvah. Why not? What's his lashon there?
Oh, he says it's not a sukkah.
It's not teshu kain tadiru.
Yeah.
Lo mi bayd lo mifta bo ba ela afilu ein sakana ba achil shesia lo b'sheina lo yatzidich avasa klal afilu b'achila. Why? The hake ein dir ba inan. Kevan shein yochel lasos ba kol tzrochav achilo shasiv v'sheina b'lo tzar mitchila lo hav yasukah kevan delatzurei kaima. It's a very big chiddush. It's a very big, it's a famous Mordechai. Anyone who learns Masechet Sukkah usually is, at some point becomes familiar with this Mordechai because it's a famous Mordechai. And if you think about it, it's very much a step beyond the simple pshat of Teishu Kein Tadiru. Everything that we've seen up till now, the Meiri, Rashi, Tosfos, every presentation of Teishu Kein Tadiru has been only in terms of the Maisa Mitzvah. All of a sudden, you have the Mordechai taking a huge step and saying, you know what? The concept of Teishu Kein Tadiru even goes as far as saying that the place that you made for yourself, if it's not subject to being lived in such a way that you could do all the things that one has to do in a place where he lives, it's not a sukkah. Mm. It's not just that you must live in your sukkah in a manner of Teishu Kein Tadiru, but in order to be a sukkah, it must be subject to Teishu Kein Tadiru.
Wait, what's the difference between the
two? One thing is, I have a sukkah. It's a kosher sukkah. Now, how must I act towards that sukkah, or how must I live in that sukkah? Teishu Kein Tadiru. I have to eat there, I have to drink there, I have to sleep there, up to the point of tzar.
Right, but that's all based off your libo. So you're going to say that if you don't feel as though your
sukkah
is not up to just to live in.
Which one? Which case are you talking about now?
If you're like you're saying now that
you start with a kosher sukkah, you built it in a place where it was acceptable.
Fine.
And now you have one of these things that come and cause you tzar?
Yeah.
Now you potter, because mitzar is potter min sukkah. What does that mean? Teishu Kein Tadiru.
But that's what I don't understand is something that gives you tzar by sleeping. Why would it, you know, like it not necessarily will, you know,
no, that's part of the chish, what I'm trying to tell you.
That's ridiculous.
Not, well, before we say it's ridiculous, let's understand what he's saying. He's not talking about a stressor that comes after the fact. That's not what he's talking about.
What do you mean by stressor?
A tzar, a cause of tzar. He's not talking about that. He's saying you built your sukkah in such a way that you can't ever properly do this.
All three.
Any one of them.
Anyone.
He gave the case of like a Gunov and Listim.
Yeah, that's the most practical case.
That's a ridiculous idea. Because
why is that ridiculous?
At night, for instance, it's cold. Right? It can be beautiful during the day, but at night it's cold. So you have tzar during the night while you're sleeping. So you're going to tell me that you're putter from Achila during the day?
Not that you're putter from Achila during the day.
That's what I seem to get from
No, this. He's not saying that you're putter. He's saying that you're not. It's not a sukkah.
So you're not Roy. So, okay, fine. So
if you made your sukkah in such a way, you're using a different... Let's use the example that he gives, and then we'll come to your example. He says you can't sleep there. Why? You can eat there and drink there during the day, because there's no problem. But at night, you're afraid to stay there, so you can't sleep there. So this sukkah is not kosher for sleeping. Not subject to... It's not Roy to be slept in. Therefore, it's not a good sukkah. Not a good sukkah. So you're saying, he's saying, not only are you putter, I'm sorry, not yet, yeah, not only are you not putter, rather, but it's not a sukkah. Why? Because this sukkah is letzare kaime. It's a place of tzar. It is inherently a place of tzar. And as you built a sukkah, you can't possibly perform teishu kein tadiru. Therefore, it's not even a good sukkah. He's going a step beyond. Teishu Kein Tadiru normally tells you how must you act when you have a kosher sukkah. Now Teishu Kein Tadiru is saying, if you can't do one of those things that you normally have to do in a sukkah, if you can't, it's not subject to being used in that way, it's not a sukkah. Mm-hmm. It's not a sukkah.
Yeah.
Now, what's your question? You're saying, I build a sukkah in a place where it's normal, I could eat, I could sleep, I could drink, but at night it gets cold.
Right.
You're saying, I live in a climate that gets very cold at night.
And it's just uncomfortable for me to.
And I would let's make it better. Let's make it better. Let's make it better. I know it's going to drop down below a certain temperature at night, and I won't be able to eat there.
Sleep there.
No, he's saying I won't even be able to eat there.
Uh-huh.
Let's say it's going to be. Let's say I live in a place where.
No, I'm saying.
I live in the desert. I live in the desert. During the day, it's 70, 80. At night, it gets down to 20, 30. Right? It gets very cold. So I build my sukkah in such a way that I could eat there, I could drink there. But now, at night, I know it's going to get so cold that I won't be able to eat or sleep there. Now you tell me it's not a good sukkah?
According to this, that's...
I don't know if that's what he's talking about. Because that's the type of thing that's going to... I'm not building it inherently in such a way that I can't do the mitzvah. That's an external factor that's coming where I'm going to be putter in any event.
Yeah, but his case is the same thing. There are external factors, like, because you're afraid that you don't want to sleep there at night, because you're afraid...
No, he's saying you built your sukkah in such a way that it's open, and you're going to be afraid of sleeping there because of listim. Right now, I know that I won't be able to sleep there. If the temperature doesn't drop down later, I won't have a problem sitting there.
You knew beforehand. You're saying that...
You're saying the sukkah is open. The sukkah doesn't have a door. It doesn't lock.
I think
the poskim as an example of what he's talking about, say, they talk about a sukkah that's built in a public area.
Okay.
Where your person would not be comfortable sleeping there.
I think what it is like, it's like a function of, you can, like in this case, he's saying that you were able to do something about it.
Right.
But like an obvious case, like it sounds like just a climate that you live.
That's
there's
it, exactly.
You can do about
exactly.
It.
Right now, you know that no matter what, I'm not going to sleep in a sukkah later.
Let's say this is the only place you can put the sukkah.
You ask me practically a halacha question now, or you're asking me to explain the Mordechai?
No, I understand the Mordechai.
See, now you know a halacha l'maisa question. So halacha l'maisa, we try to be machmir for this Mordechai. We try to be machmir, but yeah, but there's room to be mekel. But I'll take your question 1 second. I just want to point out that there were those who argued on this. Most of the poskim accept this Mordechai. They accept this. You see, the Rama accepts it. In the Shaar Tzion, he quotes the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi did sign his name, Samach Tzvi, right? Chacham Tzvi, Simon Samach Dalad, V'chein Das Beno B'Sifra Mark Tzia, V'chein Hiskin B'Tshuvas Mishuvas Nefesh, V'ayin Le'el B'Reish Simon Tav Reish Lamentes, Shehevi Siaitu L'Chacham Tzvi Mishuvas Reishay Rav Haigon. V'kol Makom Yesh Li Zohar Me'od, says the Shaar Tzion, even though there are those who argued on this, Mordechai L'Maisa. The Mishnah Berurah himself says you should be very careful about it. Why? Because many of the Achronim brought down the Ramah l'halacha, and the Chacham Tzvi, they've already answered. What was the Chacham Tzvi? What was the Taina of the Chacham Tzvi? No props for that guy.
What?
I just happen to have the Chacham Tzvi with me here. Listen, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read you the first couple of lines of this Chacham Tzvi. Listen to what he says. He's specifically taking on this Mordechai. This is the Chacham Tzvi in Siman Tzadi Dalet. Masha Kasav b'Mordechai, Perek HaYashen, Deim Asa Sukkah b'Tchilah b'Mokom HaRoi L'Tzdayer, that Chiddush of the Mordechai, that he said, if you build a Sukkah in a place where you're going to likely be Mitzdayer, B'Sheina Lo Yotzi Dechavasa Klal Afil B'Achila Einol Nirali Klal. He said, I don't hear it at all. Right? It doesn't appeal to me. I don't accept it. I don't think it makes sense. Why? And listen to this. Teteshu ke'in taduru lav al ofen hasukakai be'eze inyan tia asuya el ofen hayeshiva be'eze inyan tehe val zeka mar tehe ke'in dira v'nachanami dim osa. Listen to this taina. Deim osa beisukos ha'achas la'achila v'hashniya l'sheina afsha osa shalachila ena ru'i l'sheina mikom mokom nafik beidechovas achila u'bahachi azdola ho'chachas. And then he goes into the Trumas Hadeshin. He says, let's say a guy makes two sukkahs. He makes two sukkahs. He makes one sukkah where he could eat, and he makes a separate sukkah where he could sleep. And then he goes ahead and he eats in the sukkah where he could eat.
But
tell me he's not yotze the mitzvah?
But is the place where he...
He can't sleep in the place that he ate.
He's not ruined.
He can't.
According to the Mordechai, then, it would seem, because he...
So his taina is no, that's not true. His taina is that you would definitely be yotze.
What's that?
You would definitely be yotze.
Oh, this is the Chacham Tzvi.
This is the Chacham Tzvi arguing on the Mordechai.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because he says, I have a fundamental machlokas with the Mordechai. What's the whole basis of the Mordechai? His chiddush in interpreting what principle?
Teshu
kein tadiru. This mandate, Teshu kein tadiru, you must live in your sukkah in the way you live in your house. He says, I think the Mordechai went too far. Teshu kein tadiru.
I agree.
Lava ofen hasukkah kai. Who said, says the Chacham Tzvi, whoever said that this principle is kai, goes on, is devolved upon, ofen hasukkah, on the manner in which you build your sukkah. Whoever said that? Beze inyan tihia asuya, in the manner in which it should be fashioned. Ella al ofen hayeshiva beze inyan tehe. The rule of teshu kein tiduru really only relates to the manner in which you perform the yeshiva basukkah. And the manner in which you live in the sukkah. It does not speak to the way you which you must build your sukkah. That's the machlokas over here. Now, granted, majority of the poskim accept this Mordechai. Chacham Tzvi and I guess the Yavetz also thought that this was a mistake and had to learn the idea of Teshuvah King Dendur, and they said, no, Ad Kan. It doesn't necessarily go beyond here. It's, yes, Holche Durochim, Teshuvah King Dendur. Mitzdar, yes. Chola, maybe. But now to tell me that the way you build your sukkah is not good, that's too far. Too far. Teshuvah King Dendur does not include how you must build your sukkah. I just want to make mention of the fact that the Mishnah Berurah himself, by the way, Mishnah Berurah himself talks about a person who can't sleep in his sukkah properly. I think it's over here.
Yeah, quick question.
Yeah.
So the Chacham Tzvi says that the Mordechai's Hiddush is based on the manner in which one uses the sukkah.
That's right.
And he disagrees.
No, the manner in which one builds the sukkah.
Mordechai's Hiddush is the manner in which one builds the sukkah.
Right, it's an extension. It's an extension of that.
It's only the manner in which one uses the sukkah.
That's right.
Yep.
I'll record that. The in response to the earlier question about a place that's cold, right? So the Rama says, "Im also mitchil mokam shemitzdar b'chila o b'shesia o b'sheina." The Mordechai would say it's no good. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, "Pirsh mokam delekatzina." Right, it's not that it's just very cold, it's that there's going to be a wind.
Tzina is cold?
Yeah. The ilu b'makomos ha-karim, the place that's very cold, yotzi dechavaso ba'achila. You would certainly be yotzi in such a sukkah while you ate, even though you can't sleep there. Why? D'ef shebin yinacher. See, it's not possible. It's not like you were deficient in the way you made your sukkah. We don't say, well, you have to go build an insulated sukkah, right? You have to go out of your way to make some type of supernatural structure to be insulated against the cold, Avi, right? That's not called deficient. That's not called lacking in Teshu Kein Taduru. Mamela Mikri Sham Kein Taduru. That is called Kein Taduru. That's still normal. The Gam Mikri Roy Lashena Im Hayolo Karm Kselsos. You would be able to sleep there if you had pillows and blankets. That's still technically the sukkah is not deficient. You didn't build a sukkah in a way that you couldn't sleep there. Then he mentions the other thing here. See, there are more already addresses why certain people didn't sleep in the sukkah. Right? The Rama is earlier. The Rama is in Tafresh Lamates in Seif Beis. Umashinogin lahakel akshav. The Rama, and again, this should be comforting to some people who don't sleep in the sukkah for whatever reason. The Rama already, Avi, acknowledges that the minig became, not minig, he means the practice. The prevailing practice was to be lenient when it came to sleeping in the sukkah. She'eni shenim besukkah, rak hamadaktikim b'mitzvos, only those people that are very careful in performing the mitzvos. Yesh omrim, mishom tzina, because of the cold. Yesh tzar lishein b'mekamos hakarim. Some people say that the reason is because it's too cold and people are uncomfortable sleeping where it's cold. The liner, rather, Amos says himself, he says, but I have a different thought. Liner mishom de mitzvah sukkah ish ubeso. Person has to live in the sukkah the way he lives in his house. Right? Ish v'ishto. So you'd have to live with his spouse. So if a guy doesn't have a private personal sukkah for him and his wife, he's going to be potter. But you know what the Rama says? He says, V'tov l'hachmir. It's proper to be machmir. V'lios sham im ishto kimo shehudar kol hashana im efshe lios lo sukkah miyuchedes. If he could have a special sukkah for the two of them, that's the most ideal thing to do. Let him have a special sukkah where he's going to have privacy and he'll be there with his wife. So the Mishnah Berurah says in the Biur HaGrah, he's cholik on this Ramah. He argues on this Ramah. And he says, no, you're not potter because of this. The Gamar Magen Avraham Masik the Mishum Zel Lo Miftar. The Limei Zuchos Acher. The Magen Avraham had a different explanation why people are makel. But these are all sort of attempts at trying to explain what seems to be halachically questionable. To have a mitzvah kishein yochel lishen sham im ishto v'hinei lefi tamze im ein mitzvah kagon shein etzel zman ona. Let's say a guy is like Yona said, maybe he's not allowed to be with his wife now anyway. Maybe it's during a time when she's nida. So then you wouldn't have that heter. Ein lo liftar atzma min hashena. Right? Now that heter is only going to go so far. That's the Mishnah Berurah's comment. Umashma mikama achron demand the iaf shalishen im ishto besuka de ein lo sukkah miyuchedas lo yivatel zman ona. So and then he brings down agav that some say if he can't sleep in the sukkah with his wife that he should not be mavatel the separate requirement of being with his wife at certain times. Ve ein lachayvo laacher shenis davig im ishto she yachsel sukkaso el yishem aveso ad amar hashachar. Right, that's more of a din insofar as his chiyuv ona, which maybe we'll leave for another more appropriate time. But suffice it to say that you have this big chiddush of the Mordechai here, which in Svara makes good sense, even though you were a little surprised about it, Avi, right? He's taking the concept of Teshuva King to do, and he's extending it in what seems to be a logical way, although it's a chiddush. Some of the poskim accept it. The majority of the poskim seem to accept it. The Rama among them. Later poskim cite the Rama as being halacha. Then you have the Chacham Tzvi and a few others who reject it, and again, they reject it based on the Svara that Teshu King Tadiru doesn't anywhere else show itself to speak to the way the sukkah must be built, but instead it tells us how to do the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah. Okay, so what I'd like to do was, we'll probably stop here in a moment, but for tomorrow, we're going to move on to the next sugi. What's tomorrow, Thursday? So the next sugi deals with a chasan. Let's say a guy just gets married, and now the question arises, does he sit in the sukkah, does he not sit in the sukkah? He's during the first 7 days of Zayin Yemei Mishnah. He's during the Zayin Yemei Mishnah. Does he,
the Rama, he should,
does he have to sit in the sukkah or not?
Kada, not sleep in the sukkah.
What do you mean?
Because,
I mean, if the Rama mentions the kula that he can't live with his wife?
Yeah.
Well, all right, we'll have to talk about that.
All the more so, right?
Well, let's see. I don't know if all the more so, but maybe similarly. We'll see. We'll see, the Gemara has what to say about it. Right, that's the next piece of Gemara. So if anyone wants to start looking it over this afternoon or tonight, that's the next thing that we're going to be doing. It's on Chaf Hei Amud Beis with the Gemara that starts, V'Amar Rav Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav Chasan V'Hashav Shvinin. And then it goes down to... Because we'll take that piece until where the Gemara says Abai Omar. Abai Omar, it's about 8 lines or so, or 10 lines or so of Gemara. So if you have an opportunity and you're interested, take a look at that Gemara and Rashi, and that's what we'll be picking up with tomorrow. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll stop here.
Oh my God.